If you'll stand with me, I want to read. I had no idea I would preach this passage of Scripture. I've preached out of it a couple times since I've been your pastor, but I have returned here with a different wisdom. Matthew 13 and 24. If you didn't know it, the book, it says it has manifold wisdom. It's read it one time, you get this out of it, and you read it another time. See, I don't want to be a preacher that preaches what worked during the flood and what worked when they crossed the Red Sea and what worked for Grandpa. I have to preach to the people that live today. See, he looked down and he said he saw Noah. He said he was perfect in his day. But we bring Noah into our day. I don't know. But in his day, he was perfect. So I want to preach to people that live in our day and relate to them through ministry. So if ministering is helping the needs of people, so that's what I want to do tonight. Matthew 13, 24, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed. Say good seed. In his field. He sowed good seed in his world, right? The field's always been the world, his world. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares. Where'd they sow them? In his field, in his world. And sowed tares among the good seed, the wheat, that he sowed in his field, and went his way. So while he was sleeping, they come and sowed the tares. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. Didn't notice it. Why? Sleeping. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed into thy field, your field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, well, okay, if an enemy did this, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, no, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And P.S., I'm going back to sleep. I want to preach, go back to sleep. Go back to sleep. Lord, I come before you tonight. I'm thankful for this opportunity. Lord, there's never, ever a word that's been delivered out of your book that returned void. It doesn't happen. For your word is always prosperous. So tonight will be no different. Some will grasp a hold of this word and maybe change their lives forever. Help us to understand the difference between good seed and bad seed, the world's field and our field, and what we do and what they do in this sermon tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, but don't go back to sleep yet. Don't go back to sleep yet. This parable is another one of those parables about the kingdom of heaven. And he said, it's likened to a man that sowed good seed into his field. Again, I want to stress, it was good seed that he owned, that he put into his field. And this field was like many times we say the world, you know, you have in my world, I have my world, you have your world. We may do different things. We're still alive. We still live in the same world. But I have my own little world and you have your own little world, right? And some things that may bother you don't bother me at all. Some things that bother me don't bother you at all. But in my world, I want to kind of control what goes on in my world, right? And you control what goes on in your world. But there's some things in the world I can't control. I can't control. And so sometimes I can't even control what people do to my world. Right? I mean, there's some people done things to me. I couldn't control what they did to me. You can talk about me as soon as you walk out of here and say that's the worst sermon he's ever preached. I don't know if I'll ever come back here. I can't control that. What I can control is the seed. What I can control is what I plant into my field. And so I want to go into this, looking at it like we've never looked at it before, because we know that the seed in the Bible was almost always the Word of God, right? The seed was the Word of God. And the seed, if it's of the Word of God, it's always good seed, right? But it does say that he planted good seed, which lets me know there's other seeds that can be planted, right? And that can appear to be good, because the others were tares. But he sowed good seed, so it lets me know that there are some seeds that look maybe like they could be good, but they're not good. But they're not really tares either. And they would grow in this field. Both of them will grow in this field. It's not exempt. They both grow in this field. So I got to studying about good seed. And a good seed, listen close, is the whole seed. Okay? It's the whole seed. A good seed is one that will germinate and grow and reproduce more of the same. That, my friend, is a good seed. This is a good seed. This is a good seed. And so a good seed is a seed that has been separated from the husk. A seed that has been separated from the chaff, or chaff as some call it. And we liken that unto the world, right? It's that outer covering that if you don't get rid of the chaff, the seed won't grow. You can plant it, but it's not really planted. It's inside the husk. And so David said it this way. He said, the ungodly are not so, but they're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. But how do you get the chaff off? You beat it. You thresh it. And that's why you have what's called a threshing floor. And many times in the Bible, it talks about the threshing floor. Onan had a threshing floor. And that's where David, the angel of the Lord, stopped the killing, was at that threshing floor. It was a place where he would take and thresh the wheat. And what was Gideon doing? Threshing wheat. What was he doing? Removing the world, removing the chaff, removing the outer covering to get to the good seed. So if you want to get to the good seed, my brothers and sisters, you've got to get rid of the chaff. All you've got to do to get rid of those bad friends is just start praying, just start coming to church, all that. The wind will drive them away. I'm telling you, when you go through your trials and your tribulations, they'll break off. They'll break off. And when they break off, the winds will come by. You'll say, you know, you hadn't called me in a long time. I said, oh, no, I took your name out of my phone. I don't call you anymore. Well, good, I'll take your name out too. You know, block that call. And so you have to realize, my brothers and sisters, what's profitable and not profitable. Only the seed is profitable. The chaff is not profitable. It hinders the growth. If you plant it inside the husk, it won't grow. You've got to get rid of the husk. And it goes through a process sometimes of trials and troubles and things that you go through. But we all come in a form of the world, right? We all come in the same shell. Born in sin, shaping in iniquity. I got to do something to bust that off of me, get that off of me. And God knows how to do it, right? I mean, he knows how to. I'll never do that again. That's the last. I won't go there again. I'll never say that again. God knows how to get you to want to get rid of the bad part. And so I began to look at this. And when you look at a good seed, once you get past the husk and the chaff of the seed, you get to three parts of a seed. There is the bran, the B-R-A-N, right? It's not B-R-A-N-D, it's the bran. The bran is that little thin skin that covers like a pea or a corn or whatever. It's that little thin skin, the outer covering of the seed. And then there is the endosperm, which is mostly that starch portion of the seed. And then there is the germ of the seed. The germ of the seed is what is quickened. It's not the outer coat, it's not the endosperm or the starchy part. You see, it's that germ that's in there. It is quickened. And then once it is quickened, then the seed, that little outer coat that's protecting the seed, it quickly vanishes away. And then it lives off of that starchy portion to get that stalk and that root to go down. And then it gets rooted and grounded in the Word, and it doesn't need that anymore. See, we still get sugar highs around here. Some churches live off of sugar highs. They live off of starch. They don't ever have any roots. They don't have any ground. They just live off of starch. And that's not God's plan. God wants you to be rooted in the ground no matter what wind of doctrine comes by. I know the word of the Lord. I've studied the word of the Lord. I've heard the word of the Lord. I believe in this. And you're not going to go. You're not going to run out of, you don't run out of earth. You run out of starch, right? A seed can only last so long with what's inside of it. And then it's got to draw nutrients from the ground, okay? So those are really the three essential parts of that. And processed grains like white rice, plant that. Never grow. It will never grow. It will never, ever grow. It's not a good seed. It's a seed. And I'm eating rice. That's fine. It's not what they call whole grain rice. Because the whole grain is what has the germ, the endosperm, and that outer bran that is the whole seed. It is good seed. And my brothers and sisters, we need more whole grain Christians. We have too many that are refined. Let that soak in. Too many refined Christians, they look good. Look how pretty this rice is. The brown rice is not as pretty, but it'll grow. It's whole grain. And when you get rid of the germ and you get rid of the outer covering on that rice, all you got is the starch. That's all you got. And that's why they'll tell you, if you're going to eat rice, they'll say eat the whole grain because it's more nourishing. It has the nutrients in there. Now, I still like white rice. I'm not preaching against that by no means. But I'm preaching about if you get too refined in living for God, you'll never grow. You get to this look at me and I taste good and I sing good and I do all these things good. You're so refined that God can't use you. You don't even want to get in the dirty ground. And so God wants to plant whole grain Christians. Wilt thou be made whole? You know what whole grain Christians can do, just like whole grain seeds? Reproduce. They know how to reproduce. But if you're not careful, you get so refined that you are confined to yourself and you never reproduce. It's just you. Nobody else lives for God. Your children don't live for God. Your spouse don't live for God. Nobody lives for God but you. But you don't reproduce. So you're a seed, but it's not one that's called a good seed. And so the kingdom of heaven in this, now that I've planted that in your mind, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that has planted whole grain seeds, good seeds, into his field. And so if he plants this, he will be able to reap what he planted. You plant the white rice, you don't get anything out of it. You plant a whole grain rice, you get more whole grain rice back out of it. So the farmer planted his good seed in his own ground, and listen, he went to sleep. After he planted, he had no doubt cultivated. We don't know what all he did to prepare the ground. My point is, he planted the seed and he went to sleep. And many times we've preached this, I believe, wrongly. Oh, he should have stayed awake. Well, you try staying awake for 24 hours. Try to stay awake till the harvest comes. It doesn't happen. You know, it's sleeping was part of it. That's what the world you do in the world. You sleep. It's part of it. And when you sleep, it is an unconscious state that you go into where you're not really aware of what's happening to what you planted. There's been many of people I have planted a seed of the word of the Lord through Bible studies, even getting them prayed through. I don't know what's going on in their life today. I'm asleep to them. I have no idea. I've done my part. You know, and so sometimes you are unconscious to what's going on. I have been unconscious to other people to my demise. I was sleeping. I was not aware that you was doing this against me. I was not aware that you were the one talking behind me. I wasn't aware of that. I was asleep to it. It doesn't take away from what I have planted. Okay, so we've preached this, I think sometimes not correct, that he should have stayed up. No, let's watch this 25th verse. But while men sleep, he didn't condemn him for sleeping. He just says, while men sleep, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. He trespassed. He trespassed. And so he comes in, the enemy does, while he's unaware of what's going on. And so while he's sleeping, in comes an enemy, plants a seed, while he's not really understanding what's happening. And so he plants good seed, and he went his way, and lo and behold, something else is coming up inside of his garden. And he was unaware of it. Now listen, he was so unaware of it, he didn't know, it appears, until much later. It wasn't until the fruit came, the blade and all this, that then come the tares, the Bible says. He never noticed it. Why? He was sleeping. He was sleeping. Now, verse 28. He didn't seem to be real concerned. In fact, not as concerned as the other people were. He said unto them, okay, they said, 27. Did I skip 27? Let's go back to 27. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? His answer was yes. Well then, if you did, why this? Sure enough,
Sure enough. Yeah, it's going to be bad.
Sure enough. I'm going back to sleep.
I can't do nothing about that.
Y'all need to listen to this.
I can't do nothing about that.
He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, well, if it's an enemy, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? Let's go out there and gather them up. Let's pull them out. See, they lived in a day where you didn't have selective herbicides. Today you can spray something and everything dies but what you want to live. And they just kind of melt away. They didn't have that. What they had was this. Right? They had this. I'll just pull it out. And I can tell you, there's been many times I found a weed growing close to one of my fragile little plants. I said, I'll just pull it out, and I pull the whole thing out. Right? And that's what this scripture's telling us. Go back to sleep. Because if I go out there and pull this out, I am going to hurt what I have planted. So, now listen close. The tares were growing up all around the wheat. They were not growing in the wheat. All around it, but not in it. You see, it may be a hindrance, but the tares cannot change wheat to be anything other than wheat. No matter how many tares, it's not going to become corn. It's not going to become a tare. The wheat's not even going to become a tare. It's going to stay wheat because it's not in it. It's around it. I don't want it in me, but I can't help what's around me. So I'm going back to sleep. Y'all stay up and worry, but I'm going back to sleep. Because I cannot control what enemies and people say and do about me or you or my little world. And so if you plant wheat, you end up harvesting tares. So you plant corn, you get wheat. No. If you plant wheat, you get wheat. It's called the law of the harvest. Whatsoever a man sows, that. So the man was not worried about his wheat becoming tares. He said, I'm going back to sleep. Y'all worry about it, but stay out of my field. Stay out of my life. Getting a little more personal. Take me off your Facebook. Quit talking about gossip about me on that. It ain't fact book, it's Facebook. Because I want you out of my world. You don't do anything but disturb my world. So stay out. You're trespassing like they are. I know you may say, oh, I'm your brother and you're my householder, but let me tell you something. This is my world. I'm going back to sleep. Now, you can worry about it, but I'm not. Too much rain won't change it from being wheat. Too much sun won't change it from being wheat. Nothing can change the wheat from being the wheat. That's why I say, if somebody's with us, they're with us. If they're not with us, they're not with us. If you're with somebody, you go with them to the end. If you're not with somebody, then things will hinder you and you'll go away. But the wheat will always be the wheat. So this man realized that. I'm not saying that tares won't limit the growth. I'm not saying that it won't be crowded in that field. But what I'm saying is, I'm going back to sleep. I can't do anything about that. It may hinder me along my journey, but it's not going to stop me along my journey. I'm going to keep working till he comes, regardless of what's going on in this world or my world. Amen? Amen? So at the harvest, I'll get back what I planted. So he told these men in so many words, you worry about it. Because they were more worried about it. It's like I've had people, ain't you going to tell him something? Ain't you going to do something? You need to write that. No, I'm going to go back to sleep. Because I don't want to get involved with that. I don't want that keeping me up at night. I'm going to go back to sleep. It's not going to change my wheat. But he said, nay, verse 29, lest while you gather up the tares, we're going to go out there and pull it out. I'm angry. I'm going to fix it. I've never seen, you can't pull it out easy. I don't know how it is, but tares always have deeper roots than what you've planted. He said, no, lest when you gather the tares, ye root up. While you're trying to root that up, you root up what I planted. You root up the wheat with them.
You mess up my good seed so that it withers and dies and never makes the harvest. I am going back to sleep. You worry about it. I don't want to talk about it. It's not going to do any good. Rehearsing things never reverses things. So you can worry about it all, what's going on in the world and in your life and all these kind of stuff, but let me just tell you something. You can't stop it. You can't stop it. And the only way to stop it in that day was pull it out. But when you try to do that, you will hurt many other people, including people in your own home. But wake me up when the harvest comes. Wake me up when Jesus comes. Because I know that he's going to separate this thing out. I'm going to wait till he comes. I'm not going to take vengeance. He said, that's mine. Don't get your hands bloody and him come back and judge you for what you did. I'm going back to sleep. Because I know if I'm unconscious to what's going on, I don't have the frustration. I don't have the anger. I don't have the animosity. I don't have my nerves going up. I'm not taking pills about it. I'm not doing all this. I just don't want to know. Because I can't do anything. Now, if I can do something about something, tell me. But if I can't do anything about it, I'm going hunting. I'm going fishing. Wake me up when it's harvest time. I did my job in planting the whole grain seed. And I don't want to destroy what I have planted over these tares. Amen. And until you know this, you got a pen, you might want to write this down. Because until you know what I'm fixing to tell you, you will keep worrying, you will keep crying, you will keep fretting, and you will be afraid of the world around you, the people around you, and everybody else. Here's what I want to tell you. There is nothing that the enemy has planted around your life that can destroy what God has put in your life. There is nothing that the world has planted around your life that can destroy what God has put in your life. The wheat will be the wheat. I'm sorry, it will never become the tare. It will be the wheat. Good seed will produce good seed. So don't worry about what's around you. Worry about what's in you. And what God puts in you, no man can destroy. Oh, hallelujah. That's worth remembering right there. Because you're going to be faced with all kinds of things around you, just like Elijah and that servant. And his servant, all he saw was what was around them. He prayed for him again. He saw, well, guess what? Behind them is ones that will fight for us. Don't worry about what we're surrounded by. Anybody ever felt like you was just surrounded? You're just, Lord, they got me every place I look. Well, look up, he said. That's what happened to Moses, right? He got to the Red Sea. He looked around. He was surrounded. So he looked up. And that's what we're to do. Look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. Hallelujah. And so when you leave it alone, in the end, everybody say the end. You ever seen that picture? It says the end. The end, right? And he rides off in the sunset, right? The end. In the end, it won't matter. In the end, it won't matter. That's right. And the only one that's making a big deal out of it is you. It's my field. It's my life. You stay out of my field. Hallelujah. So let me go one step further before I let y'all go. Matthew 13 and 30. He said, let them both grow together until the harvest. I'm going back to sleep. But wake me up when Jesus comes. Because you know what? Now listen close, because I'm going to go a little deep. If you don't follow me, I'm going to go to sleep till he comes. Yeah. While men sleep, the enemy will be doing these things. But one of these days, when he comes, at harvest time, I wake up. So I'm going to go to sleep.
And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye therefore first the tares. See, they're going to be able to get them out without hurting. See, he told them, you don't take it out, because that's what they want to take out first. He said, no, you leave it alone. I'll let them take it out first. So he takes out the tares first, bind them into bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat. What did he plant? That's what I thought he planted. He planted wheat. So he said, what you plant, you reap. So leave it alone and you'll get wheat. But if you're going to mess with it, you'll get nothing. Gather the wheat into my barn. So God will remove the tares at harvest time. He will remove everybody around you that surrounds you and thinks that you're captive to their audience. But let me tell you, God will pull them out first. And then he'll come and bring you into his garner or into his barn. He will gather what he planted. And whatever you plant, that you will also reap. Amen. The tares are can be the cares. Now let me talk to you about that. Because you can plant your own tares. Yeah, I can't let a crowded field come between me and my harvest. And we can't let our lives get so crowded with things that we can't be the disciple that he wants us to be. Because you can let the crowd, what's around you, come between you and what you're supposed to be, the wheat. So that when we look at the woman with the issue of blood, she could have said, there's a big crowd between me and Jesus. She said, I'm not worried about the crowd. And as weak as perhaps she was, she made her way through the press. She pressed and pressed them out of the way until she got to Jesus. So sometimes you cannot let the crowd stop, come between you, what's around you, stop you from getting to him. And if you can't press through, then do what Zacchaeus did. He ran ahead. He ran ahead of the crowd and climbed a tree that his Lord he might see. But when they cried out, crucify him, when the crowd cried out, crucify him, you couldn't find one of them apostles. You couldn't find one of them. They let the crowd come between them and Jesus. And if you and I are not careful, our world will get full of tares, whether you plant them or the world plant them, and crowd out Jesus to where we are more concerned about the tares than we are about Christ. And the Bible says in that one place where they sowed seed, what did he say? Choked out the thorns and the thistles and all that? Choked out the word of God so that it never brought fruit to fruition. Let me tell you something. A crowded mind will never dwell upon the Lord continually. David said, I meditate upon the Lord continually. If you've got a crowded mind, we're crowded with other things, crowded with the cares of this life, crowded with this and crowded with that. Those are your tares. Those are your cares. And they're also your tares. And they crowd out and choke it out. Yes, it's still wheat, but it's just a little bitty wheat. So be a whole grain seed. Plant your seed and go to sleep. The Lord, they came to Jesus about Lazarus and they said, Lazarus is dead. And what did Jesus say, Brother Valentine? He's sleeping. The Lord didn't really like to call death, death. He said, he's just sleeping. And they said, well, Master, if he's sleeping, he'd do well. Like, y'all don't get it. Okay, he's dead. That's what you want to call it, he's dead. But to Christ, he was sleeping. I'm going to go sleep. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go sleep. And at harvest time, I'm waking up. I'm waking up. And when we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 35, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up? I mean, How did Jesus get up out of the grave? He got up. He only had scars because they showed him his prints. But he ate fish and he walked through doors. How can that be? And we can dwell on this and dwell on this. You'll never figure it out. This is God's works. It's operation of the Spirit. And with what body do they come? And he said, Thou fool. That which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. A corn of grain falling to the ground except it die, it abide alone. But if it die, and it means sleep. Because if that seed is dead, it's not coming up either. See, we've misunderstood this for many times. It never really died. The germ is alive. It's quickened. It appears to be dead because it's only sleeping. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. It go to sleep. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be but bare whole grain. It may be chance of wheat or some other grain of corn or rice or whatever. But what he is saying here is what you sow is not what it shall be. You sow the bare seed, the whole grain, and I will quicken it. Put it in the ground. Now you see, you can't, if you put a seed in the ground and it makes leaves, you can't plant those leaves. Now, I know they got something called propagation, but we're talking about planting seed. So if you take that and it makes a stalk, you can't plant that stalk. You can't plant what it shall be and make it into what it will be again. You have to take the seed or the good word of God and plant it inside of you so that it shall be whatever Christ was when he comes. I shall be like he is. So if I'm going to be like he is, I got to go to sleep. Like he did. As they come tonight, I want to read a little bit more. So also, here we go, is the resurrection of the sleeping of the dead. It is sown in corruption. Looked like a dead seed to me. I don't see any green thing. It looks dead to me. But it's just sleeping. It is raised, though, in incorruption. See, you can't plant it in incorruption. See, this is the good stuff right here. You can't plant that leaf. You can't plant that flower. You can't plant. You have to plant the dead-looking seed. And so if you're really going to be like him, you can't become him unless you first die or sleep. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. Whoo, hallelujah. It's sown in that dirty old soil. But what comes out of that soil is so beautiful. And the flower and the greenery that comes out of that dirty old soil that you put that seed into. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. Look how weak that seed looks. But it is raised in power. Let me tell you, don't plant a big oak tree by your house. It will crack your slab. Because it is raised in power. But when you planted it, it was just a little seed. And you thought, oh, it can't hurt anything. It's just a little seed. But it was raised in power. It went to sleep. And it came out powerful. And so tonight, you and I are sown in dishonor, but we're raised in glory. Sown in weakness, raised in power. Sown a natural body. Thank God. Raised a spiritual body. I'm going to come out just like he did. That's why I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to go sleep. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. I'm looking forward to the spiritual body. I'm looking forward to being like him. Don't worry about this life. Don't worry about what goes on around you in this life. Because in the end, my brothers and sisters, from the back pew to the pulpit, it won't matter. Just enjoy life. Leave it alone.
you're going to cause more trouble by trying to fix some situations than if you just let it alone. You just let it alone. So leave it alone as you stand tonight and go to sleep. And don't worry about it. Let the wheat do what it's going to do. Let the tares do what they're going to do. And I promise you, in the end, God will take care of everything. Glory to God. Go to sleep and enjoy your life. Hallelujah. Trust in